invite the congregation to stand and face the entrance of the sanctuary. Please join me in the Liturgy of the Palms. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Sovereign God, we thank you for these branches of palm. By your blessing, may they be for us signs of the victory of your Son. May we who carry them in his name ever hail him as our Messiah and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 11th chapter. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to him, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Together, let us pray. Merciful God, as we enter this holy week and gather at your house of prayer, turn our hearts again to Jerusalem, to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that united with Christ and all the faithful, we may one day enter in triumph the city not made with hands, the new Jerusalem, eternal in the heavens, where with you and the Holy Spirit, Christ lives in glory forever. Amen. Let us proceed in peace.
Thank you. is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
The immeasurable grace of Jesus Christ, the rich mercy of God, and the unity of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have established your rule in the human heart through the servanthood of Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, keep us in the joyful procession of those who with their tongues confess Jesus as Lord and with their lives praise him as Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It is so good to be with you this morning. Does anyone remember what day it is today? Palm Sunday, and we are so excited to be together as we start Holy Week. Some of you may not remember me, or maybe you don't recognize me. I am Pastor Michaela Darlene, Pastor of Family Life, and I haven't been with you since December because I had a baby. And she is here. She's all wrapped up in napping with her daddy. And we're so glad to be back with you and celebrating as we journey through Jesus' last week of life before that he raises from the dead. So we are going through a story this week, today in your Sunday school and in worship, all about the tough things that Jesus did so that he can be with us through the tough things too. So to help you remember that Jesus is with you through everything, the good stuff, the bad stuff, I have a little story, a little song, a chant to do with you, and it will help you remember that Jesus is with you through everything. So maybe you've heard this before. I'm going to sing it, and when I get to a certain point, then you can repeat after me. So have your palm in your hand and get ready. So here we go. Maybe some of you know it. It's a secular story, but it'll help make the point. So it's called We're Going on a Bear Hunt. Has anyone ever heard that one? Yeah? Okay, here we go. So listen, and then you'll join in soon. We're going on a bear hunt. We're gonna catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Okay, now we've reached some grass. Long, wavy grass. Now repeat after me. You can't go over it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You can't go under it. You gotta go through it.
You gotta go through it.
All right, wave your palms and we'll go through the grass. Ready? Swishy, swish, swishy, swish, swishy, swish, swish. All right, let's keep going on our bear hunt. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going
on a
bear hunt. We're gonna catch a big one.
What a beautiful day.
We're not scared.
We're not scared.
We've reached a river, a big, deep, cold river. Now repeat after me. We can't go over it.
We can't go over it.
We can't go under it.
We can't go under it.
We gotta go through it.
We gotta go through it.
All right, what should we do through the river? Swim?
Get a boat.
Get a boat? That's a good idea. So you can either... You can row your boat or you can swim, okay? Splishy splash, splishy splash, splishy splash, splishy splash. All right, we're almost there. Let me know if we completed the goal, if we find a bear. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going
on a bear hunt.
We're gonna catch a big one. We're gonna
catch a big one.
What?
I see a bear.
There's a bear?
Yeah.
Where? Where? Wow! Oh my. All right, everybody say, everybody say, hi, bear.
Hi, bear.
Everybody say, bye, bear.
Bye, bear.
All right. So, everybody put your listening ears on one more time. The song helps us remember that sometimes when we are going to accomplish a goal, like finding a bear, or going, taking a test, or having a hard conversation with a friend, or being nice to our sibling, there are hard things we have to do. But sometimes we just have to go through it. And through everything, Jesus is with us. Okay, so we're gonna pray about it. Repeat, so take your hands on one. And then when I say, let us pray, you smack them together and repeat after me. Here we go. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to go through life, to go through life,
so that
He is with us,
He is with us,
through all of our hard things.
Our
in the name of Jesus,
Amen.
Take your hands out wide and say, Amen. Ready? Amen. Okay, you can go downstairs to hear more of the story. You can take your palms. And peace to you in the name of God, our Creator, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is good to be back with you all for Holy Week. It is quite a week to be back, though, I will admit. And as I am still learning how to parent my rambunctious toddler and an infant with some feeding challenges, I will admit that as I was getting ready to return to my duties here, I just kind of wanted to get Holy Week over with. Probably not something I should admit from the pulpit, but I'm all about honesty. My desire to rush through Holy Week because of the physical toll that it will take on me and my family seems rather symbolic of the spiritual struggles that we carry through this week as well. It is tempting to just want to skip right to Easter. Can't we just jump from the celebration of joyful shouts of Hosanna that we shared today in Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem? And can't we just go to Easter, where we are celebrating the empty tomb? Let's just get through the tough stuff. That seems much more comfortable. In our society today, we are not good at working through the uncomfortable. We call death passing away. We use euphemisms for sexual intimacy, and we are indirect when it comes to talking about finances. When a baby or a toddler cries, it is agonizing for parents or grandparents, especially the grandparents. We hate to see our little ones in distress, and we rush to them and try to comfort them and make the tears stop. Over maternity leave, I started digging into the parenting approach of Dr. Becky Kennedy. As a clinical psychologist, Dr. Becky explains that when we rush to stop a child from crying or throwing a fit, we unintentionally show that little one that their big feelings are too much for us adults to handle. The child then receives the message that these big feelings are bad, and because they are experiencing them, the child thinks that they themselves are bad. Instead, Dr. Becky encourages caretakers to stick with a kid through their big feelings. Instead of eliminating the feeling, it's best to validate it. Dr. Becky says, "Every time we connect to our kids' feelings as valid and real, they become more likely to approach the rest of the world with the same curiosity and compassion." Our job as caretakers is to walk beside a child through their big feelings that might be expressed through tears or tantrums. Some other time, I'd love to actually explore the strategies with you, but for today, I want you to hear how important it is to stick with hard emotions, the hard things in life, rather than dismiss them. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, okay, Michaela, we know you're the pastor of family life, but I don't have kids, or mine are all grown up. What do you have for me this morning? Perhaps the challenge for adults is to consider what situations in life or big feelings make us so uncomfortable that we have to push them aside. Do we take time to grieve, cry, or be angry? Are we comfortable telling our loved ones how much they mean to us? Do we dismiss viewpoints that are different than our own, or are we curious about them, admitting the uncomfortable fact that we might have something to learn, or heaven forbid, be wrong? We all have hard things that we are going through. Now, if the stuff that you are going through is especially hard, I'm talking about the really, really horrible stuff like abuse, neglect, mental illness, addiction. If that is what you are going through, please don't think that I am advocating for you to just grit your teeth and bear it, okay? We don't need to suffer for suffering's sake. But if you're in a really tough place, sometimes that uncomfortable space is asking for help. And here at SPD, we have amazing staff members and pastors that are here to walk with you through whatever it is you might go through. This is what Holy Week is all about. One of the many parts of Jesus' story is that God became a human being. He came as a little itty-bitty baby to intimately know how we suffer. Jesus experienced all of life, the sadness, joy, and anger. He went through physical pain and suffering. His heart broke, and his heart would overflow with unconditional love. He went through it all so that he can be with us through it all. To best appreciate what Jesus did and does for us, we have to go through the whole story. We can't just skip from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. My seminary professor, Kurt Hendel, would say it like this: "You cannot get to the empty tomb without going through Golgotha." So to start our journey, we are going to listen to the readings from the first 3 days of Holy Week. You will hear stories of what Jesus did after he triumphantly entered the city of Jerusalem. As we listen to these stories, I encourage you to listen to what Jesus went through. When was he angry, happy, or discouraged? Who walked with him along the way? What helped Jesus get through the challenging times that you are about to hear? How did he lean into his own teachings of love, the support of his friends, and the prayers and rituals of his faith and relationship with God? May these readings encourage us to lean into our faith and our community in whatever it is that you are going through. I hope that you can join us for worship on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to hear the rest of the story. But first, let us begin with the stories of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Holy Week. On Sunday of Holy Week, Jesus entered Jerusalem to shouts of acclamation. According to John, Jesus stayed in Bethany that night, perhaps with his friends, Martha and Mary and Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Then, on Monday, he went back to Jerusalem and into the temple and was distressed and angered by what he found there.
He was questioned by one of the scribes, and we hear his profound commitment to love of God and love of neighbor. A reading from Mark, the 11th chapter. Then they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations?' But you have made it a den of robbers." And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. And continuing in the 12th chapter, one of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, the scribe asked, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to them, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question.
Thank you.
with events on Tuesday of Holy Week, as recorded in Luke. We listen as our Lord renounced the injustice of the scribes, and then as he praised the devotion of the poor widow.
A reading from Luke, the 20th chapter. In the hearing of all the people, Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And from the 21st chapter of Luke, Jesus looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on."
Finally, we hear events from Wednesday of Holy Week, as described in Matthew. The plot to kill Jesus and the betrayal by one of those closest to him. Between those events, Jesus received an act of tenderness and devotion.
A reading from Matthew, the 26th chapter. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. And continuing in the 26th chapter, "Now while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, 'Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." And continuing in the 26th chapter of Matthew, "Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What will you give me if I betray Jesus to you?' They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him."
What we have heard this morning are some of the significant events in Jesus' life between Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday. Since many more events and much of the Lord's teachings were not covered in what we read today, we listed the full readings in your Did You Know section on your worship folder. We commend them to you for your devotional reading in the coming days. A very blessed Holy Week to you. We invite you to return Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, and Easter, to worship our Savior, who out of his wondrous and sacrificial love, died and rose for us and for our salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. We continue with the offering, which is Psalm 31, verses 9 through 16.
Thank you.
invite you to be seated for the prayers. Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and its needs. O God, you announce words of grace and truth. Give wisdom to all preachers in your church, both globally and locally. Open our hearts to encounter the infinite life you offer in Jesus. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You hold the whole universe. Gather sun and moon, clouds and stars, land and sea, and plants and animals around the cross, so that all creation bears witness to your saving love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your power is sure. Destroy inequity and division in every place, and build your beloved community among all people. We pray for our military and ask that you protect those serving in the Middle East. Comfort their families in this time of separation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your heart breaks open at our pain. Send healing and vindication to all who, like Jesus, know the sting of betrayal, denial, abuse, or false accusations. Be with those experiencing pain and in need of healing this day, especially David, Mark, Lynn, Jude, Lynn, Donna, Roger, Greg, Marlis, Jane, Karen, Jack, Kathy, Mike, Gary, Linda, Judy, Lisa, James, and those we name silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your ways show compassion. Let this same mind be in us as we enter Holy Week. Bless those here who will lead worship and tell the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God, your embrace is eternal. Praise and thanks to you for all the faithful departed who rest in your mercy. Deliver us all from death's power and raise us to life in you. We pray for those who are grieving this day, especially the Buschek family. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Please rise. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Holy Trinity. God, who calls all things into existence, Jesus, who redeems us all, and the Holy Spirit, whose breath sustains creation, bless you now and always. Amen.
Thank you.
in love.